appreciate you not setting any type of expectation there, Beth. You're going to get to hear from her. That's it. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but you're going to get to. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a message. All right. Well, good morning. It's been a little bit since I've been up here in an official Sunday morning, so. Lisa asked me to speak, and I was like, I'm not real sure. You know, you come off of youth camp, and you have lots of things floating around, and, you know, and I said the speakers we had at youth camp this year, I thought all did a phenomenal job, so you come out of hearing a lot of good word, and then since camp, we've had phenomenal speakers on Sunday morning, too. I haven't got to listen to one of them in person, so I've listened to everybody on podcast at this point, but they have all done a phenomenal job, Beth last week and Jim the week before, and so just so appreciate what God's doing in our house and the word that he's speaking to us corporately and individually. And so I just kind of started thinking a little bit about what to speak about today, and I'm going to go ahead and get this part of it out of the way. That way, if I'm going to cry, I'll cry now, and then by the end, I'll be better. And so, but I got a word, I think, Tuesday morning, and for Billy and Travis, and I just wanted to tell you that, you know, the Lord was just talking to me a little bit about you guys and about how you've gone through this season over this past year, year and a half. It's been a little tough, you know, not things necessarily that were giant, but all of the little things kind of probably started to feel like they weighed a little bit. Yeah. And I was even thinking about the fact that, like, the shower door breaking, and then the shower door breaking again. And, you know, the different things that we go through that, you know, sometimes we go through things like that, and they start to happen enough that you're like, what is happening? Is there, like, a rain cloud over top of me or something? Was there a ladder I walked under? And all those things. But, you know, the Lord was talking to me about you guys, and I really think that what he's saying is that you guys are coming out of that season and coming into a new season, and we sang that song this morning. You guys get ready. Say, hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. You're coming out of that season. It's a new horizon, and so I thought I was going to speak about that this week, and I thought maybe that's why the Lord told me that, but that was not the direction that I've ended up going. So that was just for you guys. But what I'm going to talk to you about is something a little bit different. And you know, anytime that I'm up here, I try to be a little bit funny because I think I'm funny. And so you guys can be the judge of it, either way, but I was going to talk to you a little bit about the algorithm of our life. And an algorithm is defined as a process or set of rules to be followed in calculations or other problem-solving operations, especially by a computer. So we live in a world where, like, everything's smart. We got a smartphone and a smart TV and a smart tablet and all of this kind of thing. And what'd you say? Yeah, husband, smart husbands, right. And so we live in this world that really, what it boils down to is everything that we do, everything that we consume, everything that we buy is painting a picture of what our life looks like, right? And so Sean and I chuckled the other morning because he was looking at Amazon on his phone. And he's looking at his phone, and I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and he says, you know what? Amazon normally does pretty good with these recommended purchases. But I don't know, this one's a little off. And he shows me this picture, and ladies, it is a lime green halter top that was made for somebody who is not me, or Sean, I don't think. And so I'm like, well, I think maybe some of our recent purchases have messed up Amazon's algorithm about us. So I'm going to show you something. Okay. So, yeah, I do need help because I thought I could do it one-handed and I can't. He said it comes apart. All right, there you go. You got it?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. You just spin it around there. No, you're not going to? There you go. Just spin it around so it's that way. There you go. All right. So I think I figured out what has messed up the algorithm. So recently I had a work event that the theme of the Saturday night event was a 70s disco. Some of you guys might remember that a little more than others. I'm just mostly basing that off of shows that I've watched, right? But I just skidded in at the end of the 70s. I'm 3 days in, December 28th, 1979. So we're going to the 70s disco. And so I'm thinking, if I'm going to a 70s disco, I'm going all out. Because I don't get the opportunity to dress up really fancy very often. So I'm like, I need a sequin jumpsuit. And so I go on the search for a sequin jumpsuit. And I bought three with the anticipation that if they didn't work out, I could send the other ones back and hopefully one would work out. So I got one. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It was red, but what it put you in mind of was like the Grinch that stole Christmas, the way that it fit. Not great. And so then I ordered this one. Well, I ordered another one from Amazon. After I ordered it, I realized it might not get here in time. So I need to order a spare. So this was the spare. Fancy, right? The one I ended up wearing, right? So then the one that I ordered that I thought was going to be the one, it came in time. But it came and the bag was like this big. And I'm like, huh, well this is awkward. And so I get it out of the bag, and what looked like sequins online was actually shiny snakeskin. Full body, shiny snakeskin. And I'm like, oh no, this is not happening. On top of that, it was off the shoulder, which I didn't realize. So just a little bit more out of my comfort zone than I was willing to go. And of course, Sean, I try it on and he's like, I like that one, you should keep it, right? But I didn't, so I returned it. And so then, of course, because I am dressed up fancy, Sean also needs to be dressed up fancy. And so I didn't bring the belt, but Sean wore this. So he had his gold lamé shirt, and I didn't bring the belt, but it was a white leather belt that he wore with his black pants and his shoes. We looked very fancy. If you've seen Facebook, you've seen pictures. But anyway, we had a great time. But because we purchased these clothes, our algorithm got a little off on Amazon. So now the suggested purchases that we're receiving aren't necessarily what we would normally buy, like the lime green halter top. I'm sure it would be great for someone else. Lime green's not really my color. I am pale. So I was thinking about the algorithm of our lives and what happens when something comes along and messes up the pattern, right? And so I'm going to read a scripture here for you this morning about the pattern that got a little messed up. Let me take a deep breath so I won't be so wheezy when I talk. Okay. All right. So now it happened while Apollos was away in Corinth. Paul made his way down from the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside of you?" We've never even heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us? How were you baptized then? Asked Paul. In John's baptism. That explains it, said Paul. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that the people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. You've been baptized in John's baptism, and you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. Algorithm shift. Something that they were used to is now changing. The way that John did it is now not the way that they are doing it. So it goes on to say, and they were, as soon as they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads, and the Holy Spirit entered them. And from that moment, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. Altogether, there were about 12 people there that day. And so the shift happened, the algorithm changed, because they have gone from essentially the idea of the Old Testament God, Yahweh, which is a present, acceptable, or accessible, near to those who call him for deliverance. He's there for forgiveness. He's there for guidance. That's what they were used to, and that's still all true. But now, this means that they have to cultivate a life that's based on an indwelling spirit as opposed to a set of rules that are external to them that they have to follow. And so a God that is outside of them, still very all-powerful and all of those things, but now they have that same God who is now indwelling to them. So I was thinking about what it means to cultivate a life or to create an algorithm for your life. And I was reminded of this when I was doing my laundry. So I was down in the basement, and I don't know if anyone else in the room is like me, but there's something that happens from the time you wash those clothes to the time you dry those clothes to actually get them put away. I do not know what the breakdown is that happens, folks. I don't know what it is, but I am not good at it. So I get the bright idea that day that, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to stand here at this dryer, and I'm going to fold every single thing before I even take it up the steps. That way, when I take it up the steps, I'll just put it right away. You think I did it? I did not. Sitting on top of the dresser that they go in. I don't know why I'm like this. So I'm looking at this stack of shirts that I have folded all neatly on top of the washer where I'm stacking them. You know, I'm looking at them, and, if, you know, I'm feeling a little appreciative. They're all, you know, the same size, and it's a nice pretty stack. It looks like a rainbow. They're all different colors, all these things. And I'm looking at this stack of laundry, and I'm thinking about this stack of laundry, and I'm like, you know what? These are a picture of your life, these shirts. And I'll explain. So I had the stack of clothes, and they're folded, and I'm getting ready to put them away, and I'm just looking at the stack and what it means to me and how the things that I wear model how my life is shaped. And so I started to kind of look at it. And so the first thing I looked at was jacket, because this is what I wear to work a lot of times, right? So this is part of what I do and the way that I present myself in my business. And so I've got that. And then I got this one. This is my favorite one. You guys read that? Miles and Oliver Summer Camp. I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not, but I have two nephews. I probably haven't mentioned them at all. But they're 8. And Miles and Oliver, and so last year was our first Miles and Oliver summer camp. And so they came to our house, and they stayed for a week, and we ran it like a summer camp. We had daily things that we were going to do. We had a checklist of fun activities, and we made T-shirts. And then not only did we make T-shirts, but we then, this T-shirt was white. We tie-dyed clothes one day. This was one of our fun activities that we did. And so the memories in this shirt are about the fact that, man, they're a lot of fun. Man, and I have big feelings about those two. And so that says a little bit about who I am. And then we have this one. That's a camp t-shirt from 2016, in case you were wondering what year we did Be Brave. I have a list in my phone to keep track of it. So this one is special to me. I love all of our camp t-shirts, but I only brought one today. And the reason is because in 2016, I was not working at the same place that I work now. I was working at a job that, let's just say, I was really excited to not be working at as soon as I possibly could. I was going through a time where the Lord was really dealing with me on some things and some cultivation of bravery in my life. And I had read a book called Let's All Be Brave. And it's by Annie F. Downs, if you want to read it. And so anyway, that's what kind of birthed this camp idea. And so Be Brave is very special to me because it is not my natural inclination to be a brave person. But I'm getting braver all the time. So that's a good reminder of it. Then we got this one. And a lot of you have this one. And this is our church t-shirt. And it's a good reminder to me of the importance of this family that I'm a part of here. I have been a part of this house since I was a kid. And so it's a lot of history inside of my relationship with the folks here and the relationships that I have with the people here. Then we got this one. It's my second favorite. It's my Generation 42 shirt. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but man, we got a youth group here that is something else. And I love them with my whole heart. And I would do anything for them. And man, I pour everything that I can into them. And the team that we have built here for youth ministry is just something else. And so this is really important to me. So I love that. Then, let's see, make sure I'm picking them up in order so I can keep them straight. I got this one. This is our dance t-shirt for the women's dance team here. And so, Women of Destiny, which I got to tell you, wasn't my favorite name. But it goes with WOD, so that's why we are using it. Which I get. I don't love the word destiny. It feels like something that I'm not in control of. And that kind of hurts the way I operate. But it's true, because we do have a destiny, and God has called us to a certain purpose. And so I just look at this as a destiny and a purpose, and He has certainly called us all to that. And this group of women that I do this with is just amazing. And so that's part of who I am too. And then I got this one. This is a little bit of part of who I am too. This is a community work day shirt for Day of Caring. I do a lot of work in our community because I want to, and I enjoy it. And it's important to me to build the community that you're a part of. It's important to me to do things like what I did in this shirt was put mulch down at a playground. That's what I did in this shirt. And those kind of things are important to me. And this is the last one. Now this one, you may have said, think, okay, well that one's a mistake. There's a little bit of paint on it. And this shirt, it says 2020 fun. And that was kind of a thing because we were in 2020 and we all know what was going on. And then we thought 2021 was going to be like coming on out, and we didn't really come on out. And so it was supposed to be 2020 fun. I got this off of a podcast that I listened to. It kind of just ended up being 2020 of the same thing we did in 2020. So 2020 fun. So then we bought a house, and I needed a shirt to wear because we had a lot of work to do. And we had a lot of painting to do, and we had baseboards to tear out, and we had heaters to tear out, and we had spaceship-size wood-burning, formerly coal-burning stoves that looked like, you know, it came straight from Mars to tear out of the basement. I didn't physically do that, but somebody did. But we cleaned up the mess afterward. And so there's paint on this because this is my paint shirt, because something that's important to me is building a home. It's important to me to build a place that we're comfortable and to make something that we're proud of. You know, I grew up in a way that I don't even know how many, but we didn't stay in the same place very long when I was a kid. And so it wasn't anything necessarily that made us get up and go. It just wasn't necessarily something that that was in my parents' nature to stay somewhere very long. And so by the time I got married, I had had a lot of different places that we had stayed, some of them better than others. You know, it's important to me to build a home and to build a place where we can enjoy life together. And so that's part of who I am. And so this is a picture of the algorithm of my life. And so it's the data that I have inputted that's now being expended out, right? It's the things that I do, right? And so one of the biggest lessons that I think we can learn in life is that the things that we do are not who we are, though. Because there have been times in my life where I have looked at these different roles or things that I have done and I thought, that's who I am. And so I was putting my faith in the thing, or my faith in the job, or my faith in the salary, or my faith in the community involvement, because that's something that we can do. We can become so involved in making sure that we're doing that then doing becomes our God and not the Lord, how it should be, which is how it should be. So I think that's a good lesson for all of us to learn. And so, let me go back to that. One of the reasons I think we can learn in life is that things that we do are not who we are, but they're a reflection of what the call of God that he's placed on our life, and how we have a live action shot of what that is. And so God has called me to a lot of things, but how I choose to live them out and how I choose to live my life to show that is important. So then I can look and I can go back down each one of these things and I can say, you know, this is a jacket that I wear to work, and it's where I earn a living, and it's where I do the things that I'm supposed to do for my employer. But the other side of that is the ability to sit across a desk from someone and help them in whatever it is that their goals are. And that may be something from as simple as someone who's just wanting to start out saving money, but it could also be someone who it's a spouse who has just lost their loved one, and I'm helping them navigate through that situation. And so there's so many levels of the things that I do in that part of my life that are important, and that's part of my calling of who I am, and the things that you do are important to the calling of what God has called you to. And so God could call me to serve and to love on people and to care about people in a lot of different capacities. I've done that in every job I've ever had. It doesn't just have to be this one. I used to work at a movie store. I did it there too, because it's just who I am. It's who he's called me to be, right? You know, I used to work at a grocery store. You can do it wherever you are. And so what is it that happens when we put the product ahead of the purpose? So we put ahead of the purpose of God in our life the thing that we do in the clothing. And so this is in Acts 19, a little further down. So after all this had reached its peak, Paul decided it was time to move to Macedonia and Achaia provinces, from there to Jerusalem. Then he said, I'm off to Rome. I've got to see Rome. And this is just like Paul, I thought, when I read that, I'm off to Rome. He goes into a town, causes all kinds of trouble and mischief, and then says, I'm out. He was there to shake things up. He was there to challenge people's thinking. He was there to bring the news of Jesus, and that's exactly what he did. And when his mission was done, he moved on. I'm out. I'm going to Rome, he says. So he sent two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, onto Macedonia, and then stayed for a while and wrapped things up in Asia. But before he got away, a huge ruckus occurred over what was now being referred to as the Way. A certain silversmith, Demetrius, conducted a brisk trade in the manufacture of shrines to the goddess Artemis. Employing a number of artisans in his business, he rounded up his workers and others simply employed and said, "Men, you well know that we have a good thing going here. And you've seen how Paul has barged in and discredited what we're doing by telling people there's no such thing as a god made with hands." A lot of people were going along with him, and not only here in Ephesus, but also through Asia province. Not only is our little business in danger of falling apart, but the temple and our famous goddess Artemis will certainly end up a pile of rubble as her glorious reputation fades to nothing. And this is no mere local matter. The whole world worships Artemis. That set them off in a frenzy, and they ran into the streets yelling, "Great Artemis of the Ephesians, great Artemis of the Ephesians." And they put the whole city in an uproar, stampeding into the stadium and grabbing two of Paul's associates on the way. The Macedonians, Gaius and Aristarchus. There we go. Paul wanted to go in too, but the disciples wouldn't let him. Prominent religious leaders in the city who had become friendly to Paul concurred, "By no means go near that mob. Some are yelling one thing, some another. Most of them have no idea what's going on." And they were there too. And they were there. As the Jews pushed Alexander to the front to try to gain control, different factions clamored to get him on their side, but he brushed them off and quieted the mob with an impressive sweep of his arms. Anybody ever wish you could just do something with just a sweep of your arm? Impressive sweep of the arm. Try that on your children and see if it works. Yeah. Some of you probably already know that that doesn't work. But the moment he opened his mouth and they knew he was a Jew, they shouted him down, "Great Artemis of the Ephesians, great Artemis of the Ephesians," on and on and on for over 2 hours. And finally, the town clerk got the mob quieted down and said, "Fellow citizens, is there anyone anywhere who doesn't know that our dear city Ephesus is the protector of the glorious?" I think I missed a word there. Protector of the glorious. "Artemis and her sacred stone image that fell straight out of heaven. This is a conduct unworthy of Artemis, and these men you've dragged in here have done nothing to harm either our temple or our goddess." And so I was reading that, and of course, you know, Paul, he's messing up the algorithm. These people are a little upset because everything that they have normally done is now getting messed up. People are not following who they thought they should follow. They're doing things that they shouldn't. And at the end of the day, it's messing with business, right? And so Artemis, I looked that up to find out the significance. And so Artemis is the goddess of fertility. And so I was thinking about that. And so these people, their livelihood is based not only on their belief that this goddess controlled their existence, but they believed that they could offer sacrifices to this god, and that she would answer. And also, they manufactured and sold the idols that they used. And so this isn't an indwelling savior. This is a business plan, right? And they're messing with business. I need to find a tissue. Thank you. And so there's nothing that'll make some entrepreneurs a little angry than when you're messing with their business, right? And so these folks who are making these idols, they're starting to get a little bit nervous because now you've cut their market share in half because now they don't believe in this same God that you're selling the idols for. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, nothing will mess up more when we're living our life, when we live our life in a self-righteous way, we live our life in a way where we are our own self-reliance or the belief that we are in control of everything. I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that in your life. Maybe I'm just talking to myself, but sometimes I try to control some things. Yeah. And there's nothing that will get messed up faster than when you try to do that. And not necessarily because we're doing anything wrong or that we don't have good intentions or anything like that. But sometimes God will remind us, hey, wait a minute. you're starting to rely a little bit more on your own ability to control these things and your own ability to do these things than you are relying and trusting on me to do them, because he is our provider, right? And so that'll get us messed up pretty fast. And so, because then what happens, inevitably, something doesn't go right. And somebody doesn't do what we thought they should do, right? Or somebody doesn't do things in such a way that that we thought they should have done them. And so I've got one more story for you today, and I'm probably not going to be very long today, just to let those people know who get the kids downstairs and stuff. But it's another story about Miles and Oliver. And so Miles in particular, he and I were cut from the same cloth when it comes to how we view things, meaning that we like it the way we like it. And when it doesn't go that way, we don't like it. And we're going to give it our best effort to make something go the way that we think it should go, and we're not going to hear anything different, okay? But their mom and dad have taught them to be very polite, to the extent that when they were like 3 and 4 years old, if they were having an argument over a toy upstairs, you could hear the argument, and it was, I said no thank you, buddy. No thank you, buddy. No thank you. This is how they fought. Now they're 8 now. They don't fight like that anymore. Now it's like, bruh, they say that. So, you know, they're growing up, and we had a situation with them where we were at their house, and they really wanted to fly kites. And what do you need to fly a kite? Wind and the kite. Well, this day it was not windy. It was not really a good kite flying day. But Miles was very determined to fly a kite. So he takes off down the street, running as fast as he can with that kite behind him. And he's trying to get some air under it. And that thing is just dragging the concrete. It's just going down the street, just dragging. We can't get any lift on it. There's no wind. And so this has been quite comical to Sean, because it's a good picture of what it's looked like being married to me for the past 24 years. And so every once in a while, something will happen, and he'll go, just drag your kite down the street then. And he's not wrong. And so I was thinking about Miles. And, you know, sometimes we got to make our own wind. At least we want to try. And so they were up for summer camp last year, and they wanted to fly kites again, except there's no wind. And we've seen this before now. And he's not going to give up. So we're like, we have got to make some wind here somehow. So Sean, I mean, he's running down through the field, and he's trying, and it's not doing it. Sean gets the bright idea that, Bud, give me your kite, and I'm going to get on the four-wheeler. And he takes off down through the field. And, of course, that gets enough wind that kite is just flying down through there. And Miles is so excited. He finally flew the kite in his mind. He just needed to see it being flown. He didn't even need to do it himself. But so he finally made enough wind. And, you know, so sometimes you need people around you that are going to help you. They're going to help you fly your kite, create a little bit of wind. But sometimes what happens is we're trying to do that all ourselves, and we don't have the ability. I mean, he can't run fast enough to make that work. He's not tall enough to make that work. You know, there's not enough open space for him to be able to do that. And so what happens then, he gets mad. He's worn out. He's angry, as if we can create wind for him, right? He's frustrated, and he's tired. And he just doesn't understand, because it's hard. They were probably 6 or 7 years old. It's just hard for him to understand. And so that's what happens with us sometimes, though. We're trying to make our own wind and get ourselves, you know, get the thing we want up off the ground with our own efforts. And the fact is that sometimes we can't, and we need God because he's inside of us, right? And so I was reminded of what Benjamin spoke about at youth camp. And he talked here one morning, Benjamin Hopper, and he was talking about the prodigal son, and he said something that has kind of rang in my mind since then. He's talking about the fact that the prodigal is coming back, and the father saw him from afar off and ran to him. Now, the significant thing about that was that it was an odd thing for someone to do. You know, in those days, a parent wouldn't necessarily honor a child who was run off and taken their inheritance with them. But this dad hiked his robes up and took off after his son to meet him where he was. And Benjamin said, because God runs faster than you. And that's the thing that we need to know sometimes, is that we're trying to get our kite up off the ground. God runs faster than you. You know, sometimes you need an Uncle Sean on a four-wheeler to help you get your kite up off the ground. And so it's an algorithm shift. It's a changing of our minds to know that, man, in our own abilities, sometimes we are just, we can't do it on our own. And it's not that we can't because God's trying to punish us or anything like that. It's because God is trying to show us, hey, listen, I'm right here. I'm right here inside of you. Lean on me. Trust me to do this. You know, there we have all gone through times in our lives where we have waited until we are to points of utter frustration, where then we're finally like, okay, God, here I am. That's what happened with the prodigal, right? He's like, okay, fine. I don't want to sleep with the pigs, so I guess I'll just go home, right? And so that's what we do sometimes. We try everything to our own ability until the point that we are utterly so frustrated that then we're like, okay, God, go ahead. Give it your best shot. Except for, man, what if we shifted our algorithm and remembered who we are and counted on God through the things that we're doing that we know he's with us. You know, there have been times in my business over the course of the last 7 years where when I started out, for one thing, I was younger, and so I really had a lot more motivation, and I thought, I can do this, and I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do to be successful, and I need to do this, and I need to make these phone calls, and these are all the things that I have to do. And then I get to the point where, you know, you're within a couple years of that and you are utterly just worn out. And we all do it in all of the things that we do, whether it's parenting or whether it's our jobs or whether it's, you know, the other things that we do within our community. It doesn't matter what it is. We all have a tendency to do that. But now my ability to be able to count on the Lord to be with me through all of these things is so much greater, and my trust is so much deeper because I know that he cares about the things that I care about. I pray that all the time. You know, when we're praying in youth group or whatever, that's something that I say all the time. There have been times that I've said it, and I didn't know that I necessarily believed it, but I believe it now because I know that he cares about the things that we care about. He cares about the things that that are the desires of our heart and all of those things. And so it's so important for us to put our trust in him. It's important for us to be able to look at the picture of our lives and see God in every step of that thing. You know, there's clothes in there that are older than others, but I can look back at that shirt that's 7 years old and remember what God was speaking to me then. I can't necessarily remember anything else from last week, but I can remember that because it changed my life, right? And so we just have to remember that this algorithm that we have, the things that we are pouring, that we're inputting into our lives, are important because it's what we're going to put out there, right? And so we can't pour out of an empty cup, right? And we know that we can put on a garment of praise even when we may not feel like it, right? And so we put on that garment of praise. We listen to worship music to build up build ourselves up. You know, this week I was listening to worship music in the morning, just because in all honesty, I started out the week and I'm like, man, it's been a busy last couple months and I haven't felt very focused, and I've got to get focused. I've got to make sure that I'm where I need to be for the things that I have coming up that I know that God's called me to, right? And the things that he's called us to are so important. The things that he's called me to are so important. I don't have time to be too shy about it. I don't have time to feel guilt about something that I did wrong. God has stuff that's so important for each of us to do in our lives that, man, we have to get over ourselves sometimes. We have to get over our own inhibitions. We have to get over the things that may hold us back, because what God has called you to is so big, and it will only be bigger and bigger and bigger the more you rely on him. You know, we teach this youth group right now to be faithful in the little things, because what we know is that when they're faithful in the little things, as they grow older, that faith grows bigger and bigger, and then they won't have any qualms about being faithful about the big things. When the problem seems bigger than what they can handle, they're going to know who to go to, right? And that's important. And I wish I would have learned that when I was, you know, 12 and 13 years old. I didn't know that, right? So it's so important for them to learn that now, and it's so important for us to model that for them, because they don't know unless we show them, right? And so that's all that I have this morning. Does anyone else have anything they want to add or share? I did a good job. That's good.
Remembering back,
yeah,
to all your episodes, your whole life or history of your father, your grandfather. I mean, they could go back many generations.
Right.
But I just want to add that in there.
That's awesome. Our history matters, good or bad. It matters. It shapes who we are. And that's neat that you know, the most brave thing would be to touch your enemy with your history. I'm going to have to think about that one. I like that. And so, yeah, thank you guys this morning for having me. It was good to be here.